Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors & More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:03 the time. Final hour for us today here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Tuesday, May 7th, 2024 edition. Thanks for tuning in. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure. They're located at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 73 degrees. We'll get up to 84 today. More rain in the forecast for later this afternoon into the evening. It's not going to be a continual rain event, but there will be rain periodically throughout the day. In fact, tonight there could be a little bit of some severe weather with hail possible. Then tomorrow looks to be nice. The sun will shine, although there will be some clouds. And a pretty reasonable temperature in the low 80s for your Wednesday. Third hour of the program brought to you each and every day by Jenkins Floors and More. Family owned and operated. They specialize in flooring and carpeting at 6 East Commerce in Hernando, Mississippi, which is a short drive from anywhere in the metropolitan Memphis area, obviously in northern Mississippi. They also have stores in Little Rock and Cleveland, Mississippi. They sell SPC and WPC vinyls, which are scratch-resistant and waterproof, ceramic and porcelain tiles, hardwoods by Portercraft, carpeting from Southern Luxury Carpet, just a name of the few of the things that they have. And they sell it wholesale, so they skip the middleman and save you lots of money. Two-week turnaround. So if you go with Jenkins, they'll have it installed in 2 weeks. That's amazing. So stop by, give them a call. They will come to you and give you a free estimate. 662-469-9350, the number to call, 662-469-9350. All military and first responders, 10% off. Sports 56 listeners, ask about their family discount, Jenkins, Floors, and More. Time now to talk some golf with Mickey Barker.
It's time to hit the links and talk some golf. It's Mickey and Friends. Mickey Barker, administrator of golf for the Bluff City, joins Greg and Eli each week. Now, here's Mickey Barker with Greg and Eli.
He is Mickey Barker. Not only the administrator of golf for the city of Memphis, but a Hall of Fame golfer from Lipscomb University. You can follow Mickey on Twitter at MickeyBarker1. Mickey, what's going on?
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Doing fantastic. More rain, lots of rain since Sunday. Again, is that a good... It's probably not a good thing because that means people can't get out there and play golf.
Well, they can't get out and play as much. Some people still like to play in the rain. I don't know why, but... But it is great for growing grass. We got humid temperatures. We're growing grass a lot. It is difficult for mowing grass, which we are doing all we can.
So. But it's always, if it's not one thing, it's another. You want the weather to grow the grass, but then you're like, well, now we need to mow the grass. Now the weather needs to cooperate to let us mow the grass.
Right. We can put our own water on there, so we will prefer dry weather over wet weather, usually.
Speaking of that, with inclement weather, and certainly there's some people that will go out and will play in the rain as long as there's not a monsoon and there's lightning, they can't go. You're not going to let them out there on the city courses with lightning. But when it is wet... And usually it's not going to be 90 degrees, going to be cart path only. But when they get out there, you're not going to get any roll. You're going to be hitting in the slop, and you're going to be muddying up the place. Normally, as golfers and amateurs or pros alike, they know to fill in your divots. What about when they're out there on a wet course and it's just like they're taking out just hunks of mud and all that? What do you suggest for people to make sure they don't rip apart a course?
Well, our courses do have, on the golf carts, we do have sand bottles where you can fill your divots back in with sand. So we suggest that. Our guys are good enough. Our superintendents are good enough. They can fix most everything that they tear up. So we're not too worried about that as long as they keep the carts on the path where they're supposed to be. The carts do more damage than a golfer ever will.
Right, right.
And of course, you guys with the GPS on the carts, you have control over those people now.
We do, yeah. That technology is fantastic. We have action zones where we can keep the carts either on the path or limited to a certain areas. We have wet holes that typically stay wet all year long, and we can put an action zone around that so a cart physically cannot drive into it.
It amazes me, like that technology. How accurate those things can be to the point where literally it can determine whether you're on the cart path or not.
Correct. It is pretty amazing. it is frustrating when those action zones get a little bit off, and we've seen that from time to time. But 99% of the time, they're perfectly accurate. You can get a couple wheels off the cart path, and they'll start telling you to get back on.
Well, I'm glad it just shuts down, and then you got to reverse back onto the cart path, as opposed to some voice like Mickey Barker's voice coming out every time and saying, "Get back on the cart path."
Right. They don't want that at all. Yeah. It gives you the crawl of shame, as we call it, once you get out on the holes.
Well, I know we got some aerification coming up. I want you to talk about aerification for folks so they know when they go out to the golf course, it'll be a little bit different. You got some dates set up for some of your courses. So tell us about that.
Right. It's one of those things. It's a necessity that we have to do to keep the greens in the condition that we need them to be. We have to aerify the greens, pulling cores, which opens up, get some air and water down to the roots of the greens. So it's a necessity that we have to do. Nobody likes it. The course doesn't typically play as well, you know, for the week or so after that. But we do have our first aerification coming up at Fox Meadows, May 28th. They're usually the first ones to go to start the season off. And as healthy as those greens are, within 5 to 10 days, those will be back to normal. So, shouldn't be a problem.
So with your, because you got a lot of different courses, you basically rotate to try and make it so some, you don't want to play this course, we got another course you can play that hasn't been aerified.
That's correct. We will start, like I said, the end of May, and our last aerification will be toward the end of July. So we'll space it out a good little bit. It depends on what tournaments we have. You know, we try to get our big courses that we're going to have for the Memphis Amateur Championship done as early as possible so they can heal and be ready to go for a championship-level golf in mid-July.
Pine Hill, June 3rd, Galloway, June 10th, Overton, July 17th, if you want to keep records at home just in case. You don't want to go out there when it's aerified, but right. It is, you know, it's obviously a pivotal thing for the golf course. Audubon. Where do things stand as we get closer and closer to opening day?
Things are fantastic. I mean, they're really growing in well. This week could not be better. You know, warm, humid, wet temperatures. It's making the grass really grow quickly there. We're right on track for somewhere in August opening of all the facility.
Is the parking lot in now?
It's shaped. They haven't started laying asphalt yet, but that should come soon.
And then the driving range, what's the update? Because I know I've been out there with you. It looks great. When will that eventually become open to the public?
Well, all of that depends on the parking lot. You know, once we have the ability to park out there and we have the ability to sell range balls, then we will get it open. It's still looking at late July, 1st of August probably for that.
Anything else as far as things that we need to pass along to our viewership?
No,
our listenership.
We're in the heat of the season now. We've jumped in. We've got tournament schedule coming up. We're going to talk to Austin here in a few minutes about that, and everything is open and running, and we're so excited to get as many people out on the course as possible.
Before we bring on Austin Chin, I did want to ask you. We were talking before we came on during a break. About this, because I'm seeing a lot of news about this TGL, which to me still boggles the mind. Like, what exactly is this? I've seen teams being formed. What do you know about this TGL?
Not a lot. I do know that it is, you know, franchise teams. And, you know, Tiger has a team. Rory has a team. The biggest players have teams. They're going to play in South Florida on the campus there in the SoFi building that they built just for this event. It's an indoor simulator off the tee and some of the iron shots, and then they play into a green that's inside that stadium. Pretty cool nighttime ESPN broadcast on Monday nights, I believe.
It's going to be Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights.
Tuesday, are they? Obviously, they got to be playing for something. They're playing for good prize money?
Oh, I'm sure, yes. Playing for a lot of money.
They're playing for free.
Those guys are not going to play for free, no.
Wow.
What I was reading about, what's crazy is they've got the green that they'll be hitting. Like, they can constantly change the contour of the green and rotate it so that the bunkers, like all the angles are different. Like, that's some crazy stuff.
Technology is absolutely amazing what they've done with golf these days.
Well, again, you know, you have tournaments that go pretty much throughout the year. You know, they used to call it, what, the silly season, the funny season, whatever. But now it's the calendar starts differently, but it gives you something else for all you golf fans out there to watch some of the big names play, although not your conventional 18 holes out there on a course.
Right. It's called the TGL. We don't know exactly what that stands for. Sounds like it could be the Tiger Golf League.
it makes sense.
A lot of it is to get Tiger on television as much as possible. He has grown the game probably more than anybody in the history of golf since the mid-90s. I'm all for it. If it gets more eyeballs on him playing golf, which makes them want to play more golf, I am all for it.
Hopefully he doesn't get hurt with a simulator.
Right.
Stay healthy throughout that.
He doesn't have to do much walking in this one.
Yes. Very little. Very little. Which is a good thing.
Well, as promised, we are joined now by Austin Chin. He's the player development coordinator for the city of Memphis. And he is doing just a bang-up job. And he's also giving private lessons. And he joins us now on Sports 56 Mornings. Austin, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are y'all?
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much. So we were talking just a moment ago with Mickey that, you know, the tournament schedule's out there. So we wanted to talk to you a little bit about things like the Mayor's Cup. Tell us about that. And then, if you wouldn't mind, talk about some of the schedule as far as the tournaments that are going to be coming up very rapidly.
Sure. The Mayor's Cup is our season-long match play tournament. We have the qualifier for your seating this Saturday at Fox Meadows. Right now, we have 55 registered to qualify for 31 spots. So what we determined was whoever won the previous Mayor's Cup is the automatic number one seed the next year. And that number one seed this year is Dan Roberts. He won our Mayor's Cup last year, so this year he is our number one seed. So everyone is going to try and beat him this year. Everyone has their own matches they play, just like, you know, any bracketed tournament, and they have 1 month to complete their match. And they can play their matches at any of our 18-hole golf courses, whether it's Galloway or Fox Meadows or Pine Hill or Audubon once it's open. The lower seed, I guess the worst seed, determines what golf course they play.
Oh, so the worst seed gets to determine that?
Yeah, just a little advantage, that, you know, to try and upset the higher seed.
And so those things for those matches, so they've got them anywhere in the month, and that's just all worked out amongst them to get together and figure out a day they're going to play it.
That's right. I want to put, you know, some of the onus on them because it's just too much for me to schedule out every single match. But if they agree on a, you know, Wednesday morning when both of them are available, by all means, go play your match. Send me the record of who won or who lost. And then we can further along the bracket.
All right.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're going to beat me to it. Other events coming up?
Yeah, other events coming up. We have our Galloway Championship next Saturday, May the 18th. Right now, we're at 101 players, and the deadline is next Wednesday. And really, 102 is kind of our max. But, you know, we're very lucky that a lot of people love playing Galloway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going into the future, one of the best events that we do all year is our parent-child tournament. And it's a two-person scramble at Overton Park. There's no age limit. So, Mickey, if you want to play with your dad or your mom, go for it. You know, this is a tournament where we want to, you know, turn down the competitiveness and ramp up the memories.
We get a lot of participation in that. We have, you know, we have dads that are 90 years old playing with their sons or grandkids, and it's been really a good event for us there at Overton Park.
Is there a max on how many, or is it open for as many as you can get in there?
You know, last year we had 124 players.
Wow.
So, you know, 62 teams played. You know, afterwards everyone got a mem pop, got pictures taken, got a bag tag, you know, just something to commemorate the event. And that's one thing that we felt the city was missing, just that memorable tournament that you can make, you know, with your loved ones. Also, another one that we love to have is our, you know, I won't talk too much about it, but the Overton Park Junior Open. We have that in July. And honestly, if you know golf, it's one of the most well-run events I've ever been a part of. Two of our co-chairmen, Dwight Drinkard and Daryl Smith, They are former FedEx St. Jude Classic Tournament directors. So from my seat, it is just awesome watching them work and organize things and you know, honestly just learn everything I can from them.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. That's nice guys to have running a golf tournament. They I think they probably know a thing or two about running a golf tournament. That is for sure. Speaking of the kids, the juniors, where would you say right now junior golf is? Is it on an upswing right now again?
I think so. I was talking to one of my friends last week, and he was saying, you know, 20, 30 years ago in high school, middle school golf, you know, those number ones were really good on the team, but then after that, they were just kind of so-so. Whereas right now, you know, your number one player is always your number one player, but those two, three, and four players are much more solid than years past. I think golf is, you know, junior golf is on the upswing. I teach a lot of juniors now that they're not on their team, but they love golf. You know, COVID really, you know, got them playing more golf with their buddies. And it's just something they, you know, they're competitive. You know, they play other sports, and golf is just something they can do together now.
And of course, we talked last week, Mickey, about the free golf for the kids at the city courses. So, and I don't know how much are there more playing now? Do you see?
There are. We track those junior rounds, and steadily since 2015 when we started it, year over year it increases. You know, we usually go up about 500 rounds a year,
really?
Increasing on the previous year, and it continues to grow. And like I said, it's not affecting our other rounds. We still play just as well. We still play more adult rounds than we've ever played in the history of the city courses.
Austin Chin is joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Austin is the player development coordinator for the city of Memphis for golf and works side by side, hand in hand with Mr. Mickey Barker. Austin, for those who don't know you, and you just talked about lessons to the juniors. Obviously, you give lessons to people of all ages. Tell us a little bit about your background, how long you've been with the city of Memphis Golf, and then also about how folks can inquire about your services.
Yeah, lessons. I've been teaching for probably 14 years now. You know, probably since 2010 is right when I started, you know, really digging into private lessons. I'm able to give lessons anywhere. You know, short game, we do a lot at Galloway, Overton Park. Long game, you know, irons and drivers, it's more putt-putt. And hopefully soon to be Audubon once that driving range opens. I've been in the golf business for a long time. And, you know, worked in the private sector, you know, Ridgeway Country Club, Germantown Country Club. And I've been now with the city since, I think, 2019.
It's funny, he's been giving lessons for 14 years old, or for 14 years, but he looks like he's 18 years old. So I don't know how he's doing that, but it is just the way it works.
Well, I can tell you firsthand from working with Austin this past week and Mickey, but he is really good at what he does. So make sure. Did you give out a number? How do they contact you if they want to get a lesson?
Yeah, so they can shoot me a text at 901-230-6147. That's my personal number. Or they can shoot me an email at austin.chin@memphistn.gov.
All right.
And there's two N's in Chin, by the way.
Greg told me that you guaranteed he was going to be a scratch golfer by the time you got done with him.
Absolutely. We've only been working at it for 1 hour so far. by hour 10, he will be taking your money, Eli. No problem.
If that's the case, I'm going to start taking lessons.
Austin, thank you so much. Appreciate it. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again down the road.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Austin. Austin Chin. Was that a dig at me, Mickey? Come on now. Come on now. Aren't we good enough friends? We don't need no digs.
We all have seen you play, Greg.
I know. Unfortunately, I've seen myself play. Anything else before we wrap it up, Mickey?
No, just keep coming out. Keep enjoying the golf courses. We love having everybody out. Again, we're, like I said, we're doing more rounds than we've done in the history of the golf of the courses, even through the mid-90s when golf was so big. But we're happy to see everybody and looking forward to a great season.
All right, we'll talk to you next Tuesday. That is Mickey Barker, the administrator of golf for the city of Memphis. You can follow him on Twitter at Mickey Barker 1. Folks, I want to tell you about one of the great places to eat. Look, we have a lot of delicious places, or a lot of places with delicious hot wings. I think the best is the Crazy Coop. I think they're America's premier wing destination, and you can partake in those delicious wings by heading on over there. They're located at 7199 Highway 64 between Appling and Kirby Whitten. It's where Bartlett meets Memphis. Why are they so good? And why are wings good? It's because of the flavors, right? Everybody can make a wing. It's what you put on those chicken wings that make the difference. And they have 32 delicious flavors to choose from and counting at the Crazy Coop. If you like the hot, they got the Crazy Sweet Lemon Pepper Hot, the Crazy Suicide. If you can't take the heat, they got the Four Cheese Roasted Garlic or the Barbecue Bacon Bourbon, just to name a few. And they got some newbies like the Crazy Lemon Twist, a savory, zesty, and citrusy taste of fresh lemon twist. They have specials every single day. Choose from three whole wings or six party wings, fries, and a drink, all for just $9.99. Now that is a crazy good price. They also have delicious catfish sandwiches, half-pound burgers, great sides like fried okra, fried dill pickles, green tomatoes. They're open for lunch and dinner every single day, 7 days a week, 11 until 9. You can ask about their catering services. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook. Family-owned and operated, the Crazy Coop, America's premier wing destination. Again, 7199 Highway 64 between Appling and Kirby Whitten. Check them out, try them out, and let us know what you think. That's the Crazy Coop. When we come back, we're talking some 901 FC soccer. Huge one tonight on the road in Dallas. We'll talk with Lawrence Dockery when we return. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
We are Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, "Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:30 the time. Our final half hour on this Tuesday edition of Sports 56 Mornings. We've talked to Connor O'Gara. We've talked to Jeff Crane. We've talked to Mickey Barker. And now time to talk a little soccer with our soccer insider, Lawrence Dockery. He's a writer for World Soccer Talk. He's also a host of the 901 Soccer Podcast, which is part of Bluff City, Memphis. You can follow him on Twitter at LDoc93. It's a big one tonight for Memphis 901 FC as Lawrence joins us here on Sports 56 Mornings. Thanks for joining us, Lawrence.
Hey, man, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Good time before we break down, or you break down, the game tonight. It's a good time to probably play this MLS team, because after a very slow start to the season, 901 FC, the last couple of games, have really got their act together.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, in soccer leagues all across the world, everybody's got their own cup competition, similar to what we have for Memphis 901 FC tonight in the U.S. Open Cup against FC Dallas. And frequently, what you will see happen is teams that maybe aren't doing so well in regular league play can use that cup competition, if they get pick up a win or two, to generate momentum, which can transfer into their league play. And I think that's what's happened here for 901 FC. As you know, you mentioned, they won their season opener, but then they dropped five straight games in league play. They weren't playing bad by any stretch of the imagination, with the exception of maybe the first half of the Indy 11 game. But, you know, they just weren't finding the back of the net. But they were creating a lot of chances, and you just felt like eventually the breakthrough was going to come. And in their first game in this year's U.S. Open Cup, they played an amateur side, Miami United, who may or may not have had some bets in on their previous Open Cup game. And they put in a competent professional performance and beat them 2-0. And so now, following that game, they dropped another league game against Monterey Bay, but they won their last two games in league play. They went down to Birmingham. I was fortunate. I was able to go cover that game, although I will say media accommodations at Protective Stadium in Birmingham leave something to be desired. And so they've won two. They beat Birmingham 3-0, and this past Saturday they beat Tampa Bay 4-1. So they've won three games across three of their last four games across all competitions. So yes, to your point, tonight is a good time to be playing FC Dallas.
So I believe we went through this last year, but can you explain again how this U.S. Open Cup works? Like, who is eligible to play in it, and how does it go on?
Okay, so I do remember there was a time last year right when Messi Mania really got rolling here in the U.S. where you had asked if there was a possibility that Messi could someday potentially play at AutoZone Park. And yes, that possibility does exist. Not so much this year, and I'll get to that in a second. But essentially, the U.S. Open Cup is the longest-running soccer competition in the United States. It goes all the way back to 1914. There's only been 2 years where it wasn't played, and that was 2020 and 2021. It's essentially anybody can play. Every soccer team in the United States is eligible for this competition. So you could have, in theory, an amateur side playing the best team in MLS. You could have Memphis 901 FC play Method. You could have, you know, Louisville City play the Seattle Sounders like they are this week. You know, it's anybody can play anybody. It's in the early parts of the competition, it is kind of based, groups are based on geography, because a lot of these lower division sides don't have big travel budgets, so you would, you know, not want an amateur team from Miami having to fly to Salt Lake City, for example. But yes, this year, however, it is a little bit different in that Major League Soccer, somewhat scumbags that they are, decided to attempt to kill the competition. Because the problem for Major League Soccer with the U.S. Open Cup is they don't own it. And Major League Soccer wants to be the sole soccer entity in this country. I mean, I think Don Garber, the Major League Soccer commissioner, even had a quote that said, any soccer dollar that doesn't go to MLS is a dollar wasted, or something along those lines. And so back in December, they told U.S. Soccer, yeah, we're not participating in the competition. We're going to send our reserve teams instead. So that would be like the Grizzlies essentially sending the Hustle to go play in the in-season tournament.
Mm-hmm.
The best.
They did that this year in the NBA.
Oh, that is true. Not exactly an apples-to-apples comparison, but so U.S. Soccer said, no, you are a professional team in this country. You are required to participate in this competition. Go away. You're playing. Hmm. And they did some negotiating, and eventually MLS got most of what they wanted. They are only sending 8 teams out of the 26 American teams in Major League Soccer. They're sending 8 of them to the U.S. Open Cup. And it is fitting that FC Dallas is one of those 8 teams, because the FC Dallas was founded by the late Lamar Hunt, and they are owned by his son, Clark Hunt, who I believe also owns the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, that's right.
And the tournament is called the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Mm. So it's a little bit fitting that FC Dallas is the team in there. But if Major League Soccer claims that the reason they couldn't send all their teams is because of schedule congestion, they got too many games, essentially. Well, that's a problem of their own doing, because they decided they needed to cash in on the Mexican fans in this country, and they created that Leagues Cup, which I feel like we talked about, you know, with Messi last year. And it's a lie. It's just an outright bold-faced lie, because some of the days that are Open Cup dates set for the summer, the Major League Soccer teams that are not participating in the U.S. Open Cup have since scheduled exhibition games against European teams here in the U.S. So this is they're essentially, what they're trying to do is they're trying to put USL out of it.
They're strong arming. Yes, they're strong.
Yes, they are. They have declared war on the USL, of which Memphis 901 FC is a part, and that they're trying to put them out of business, because Major League Soccer wants to be the sole soccer entity in this country. And just the cherry on top of that Sunday was, right before the Major League season started, they put up a graphic of, you know, like a little cartoon characters of every one of their teams, and with trophies that they won last season. So they had Miami and Messi up there with a little cartoon trophy from the Leagues Cup. They had Columbus Crew with MLS Cup. the Houston Dynamo won MLS, won the U.S. Open Cup last year, and yet the Houston Dynamo graphic didn't feature a trophy in the MLS promo to start the season.
Wow, interesting.
So you said this has been played since 1914, other than the two COVID years. So they played through world wars. They were still playing this thing.
Yes, it's the oldest, most prestigious cup competition in the U.S.
That's hell with a world war. We got to get this soccer tournament done
before you preview their chances tonight, Memphis 901 FC in Dallas. Did every USL champion team participate in the US Open Cup? Okay.
Yes. Okay. Every team in the USL Championship, and I believe down in USL League 1 and League 2, I believe they all did. I know all the championship teams did. I know that was when all of this was really kind of firing off, that was something that all of the USL teams were like, yeah, we're doing this. And that's something that at 901 FC Media Day early this year, that was something that Caleb Patterson-Sewell, the assistant sporting director, said, yeah, we're playing. I'd like to see, we respect the Open Cup. I'd like to see everybody else respect the Open Cup, too.
Well, they beat Atlanta last year. Was it last year or the year before? The year prior?
That was last year. Okay. They went on the road to Atlanta United. They beat them in. They were down 1-0 after like 2 minutes, and then they tied it up in the 96th minute and won it in extra time.
Okay, which was a great, great win for this organization. Now tonight they get FC Dallas. What are their chances?
I like their chances. That's something, you know, momentum is a very real thing, you know, in any sport, anywhere in the world. And 901 FC's got momentum right now. You know, they've won three of their last four games across all competitions. They're really starting to put the ball in the back of the net. 3-0 over Birmingham, 4-1 over Tampa this past weekend. And then you look at it, and one of the things that has benefited USL teams in the past is that sometimes these MLS teams don't really care about the U.S. Open Cup, which is part of the reason why it was so bizarre that MLS decided to officially declare war when half their teams didn't take the competition seriously anyway. So motivation is perhaps a factor for FC Dallas. You also look at it, FC Dallas is 13th out of 14 teams in the Western Conference in MLS. They've only won, two games the whole season. Take the fact that 901 FC is playing really well right now. They're scoring lots of goals. They're getting hot. Combine that with the fact that FC Dallas doesn't look like they're particularly good, and I feel like 901 FC has like their chances tonight.
You had reported that, is it Nico Brett out for the year?
Yeah. Nico Brett was one of the big signings, big marquee signings of the offseason. And, you know, that was one of the things 901 FC, I thought, had done really good this offseason at signing a lot, not just keeping key players, but bringing in a lot of good new players. And Nico Brett was kind of like the crown jewel of that because he was the, I think, second or third leading goal scorer in USL Championship history. But one of the games he went down and had a shoulder injury, and they confirmed that he's going to be out for probably the rest of the season. I think they, in the press release, they left a little bit of room where he might be able to come back if they make the playoffs, but they said the expected recovery time is about 6 months.
Other than that, pretty healthy going into the match tonight?
Yeah, that's one thing that had partly contributed to losing five games in a row to start, you know, early on in the season, is a lot of injuries, a lot of suspensions, and so you had a lot of guys playing out of position. But overall, I think, this past Saturday, the only guy on the injury report was Nico Brett, and since he's done for the season, you know, we're not going to expect him tonight. But overall, I think everybody's pretty healthy.
All right, final thing for you. You had tweeted out about the USL Championship attendance from this past week. Memphis hosting Tampa Bay and winning 4-1. The lowest, I don't know if you included everybody, but they were the lowest of the ones I see on your tweet at 2,384. Overall, thoughts on attendance this year with Memphis 901 FC?
So they were the second lowest, I believe, this past weekend. The only team that was less was the Las Vegas Lights and their perennial cellar dwellers in terms of attendance. I think they had like 1,000 people show up for their game. The attendance for 901 FC, I would say there have been some comparisons made to the Showboats.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of attendance. I think the difference is Memphis 901 FC actually has better attendance than a few other teams, though not many. Even last year when the attendance was the lowest in team history, they still were better than probably, I think, maybe three or four teams in the league. But there's no doubt that it's concerning. It's not time to panic just quite yet. There is a ton of high-level international soccer on TV this summer with the Euros going on in Germany and the Copa America being played here in the U.S. I think people are going to see that, and they're going to just see that we happen to have a team here in Memphis, and that'll it's not going to lead to an attendance explosion, but it'll lead to a nice trickle-up. Mm-hmm. And between now and the first Tiger football game, the first Tiger football game is what, Labor Day weekend, like August the 31st or something like that?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
And so I think there are now, 8 home games for 901 SC between now and that time. So they've got time to figure it out and kind of boost it up. And here's what I'll say. With the hire of Jay Mims, they're doing a lot of the stuff that we've asked them to do. They are working very hard, which is very nice to see and a very refreshing change of pace.
That's a positive. Right.
It is. And it's like a lot of little things, too, like stuff you wouldn't even think, like, they're updating their YouTube channel with highlights from every game now, and you know, stuff like that. They're going to more schools, and they're being more visible about going to schools. They're showing up at youth tournaments out of micros. The thing is, it's going to take time. They're trying to have to do, you know, 3 years of 3 or 4 years worth of, you know, neglect essentially in 4 months, and that's a Herculean task. I think it will get better. How much better? I don't know, but they're doing what they can. They're trying. They're working incredibly hard, and it's not time to panic just quite yet. I would say if we get into September and the crowds are still 2,000 people a game, I think it might be time to panic then. But when we panic then, I don't. We'll have to cross that bridge when we get to it.
All right, sounds good. Make sure to follow Lawrence on Twitter as far as the match tonight and all things soccer at @ldoc93. He writes for World Soccer Talk, and you can hear him on the 901 Soccer Podcast on Bluff City, Memphis. Lawrence, as always, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Take care.
You need a tough, reliable tractor to tackle those tough chores? Well, go see the folks at Mid-South Ag Equipment and check out the Case IH Farm All Series of tractors and equipment. Of course, beyond that, the Bush Hog equipment, including the zero-turn lawnmowers, and so much more. That's what you'll find at Mid-South Ag Equipment. You can go see them in person. Very easy to get to. They're just south of Conyerville on Goodman Road. If you take I-269 to the Goodman Road exit, there's a half mile west there. Or you could just go online, midsouthag.com, to see all of the different things that they have. Check out special deals, special offers, inventory of pre-owned equipment that they've got. All of that you can do at midsouthag.com. But nothing beats that in-person experience when you go talk to the folks at Mid-South Ag Equipment. Whether you're looking for new equipment, pre-owned equipment, need service on your equipment, maybe you just need some parts, whatever it is, go see the folks at Mid-South Ag Equipment.
Redbirds return home, and they're going to have a familiar face in the lineup. We'll talk about that, some other baseball news in our final segment. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors & More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back here in the Family Leisure Studios. 9:48 the time. Of course, this weekend is Mother's Day. Got to take care of Mom. And if you're looking for something special for Mom, head on over to Genesis Diamonds, Poplar and Perkins Extended. The team over at Genesis will find that perfect, affordable, beautiful piece of jewelry for Mother's Day, or really for any special occasion that you've got coming up. They will have something for you. So maybe it's a graduation gift, maybe it's for Mother's Day, maybe it's an anniversary, a birthday, maybe you're getting engaged, whatever it is. For that special occasion, there is something there at Genesis Diamonds. Great people to help you find it. Massive selection, so you know you're going to be able to find something. every price range imaginable as well. And the prices are absolutely amazing. You know you're going to get great quality for your money at Genesis Diamonds. Poplar and Perkins Extended, Genesis Diamonds.
Redbirds return home tonight. Tonight through Sunday, they got a homestand at AutoZone Park against the Norfolk Tides. And old Matt Carpenter is going to be doing a rehab assignment with the team. Not sure how many games he'll be participating in. Not sure if he'll be in the lineup for this first game tonight. But Matt will be making his first appearance at AutoZone Park since 2019. Back in 2011, he hit 300 for the Redbirds in 130 at-bats. Of course, went on to play and put some productive years together with the Cardinals. He was with the Yankees for a bit. Now he's back with the Cardinals. He's 38 years of age and has only played in a few games this year. He is battling an oblique strain, but back in rehabbing Matt Carpenter. You got Jordan Walker, who was sent down. Scott, I assume, is with the Redbirds and not Double-A Springfield.
But I think he's here.
I mean, so again, you're going to see some names of guys from the past and guys hopefully will be a big part of the Cardinals' future as the Redbirds are back in town for their series with Norfolk.
Last night, Major League Baseball, Walker Buehler's back, finally. 20 months. Actually, a little more than that.
Wow.
June of 2022. So actually, 23 months since he last pitched in a Major League Baseball game. But and that's good too because the Dodgers need help. You know, Dodgers they're struggling. they need as much help as they can get. So glad that they're able to get reinforcement in Walker Buehler making his return.
Boy, that's a long time in this day and age with modern medicine and technology and all that. They get these guys back in uniforms and on the mound very quickly. But that was a long road to haul for Walker Buehler. Also last night, Shohei Ohtani did it again. This guy now leads the major leagues in batting average at .364, in hits with 52, in doubles with 14, total bases with 98. That may be before the home run last night. I'm not sure if I included the home run from last night. So he now has 11 dingers on the season. Is that top the American League? I mean the Major League Baseball?
Mm-hmm.
Again, this guy, you would think that maybe. And he got off to a little bit of a slow start. But when a guy just stole, what was it? How many millions from you? You would think that maybe mentally, although you got a contract, that's pretty damn, I don't care.
That money really didn't matter.
See, Don't say that. I don't care.
He deferred all of his money. That's how much he doesn't need money. He just deferred hundreds of millions of dollars because he doesn't need it.
I don't care if I was getting a $250 million and somebody stole from me $100,000, I would go ballistic, let alone millions, which this guy did. Didn't affect him. Didn't affect him whatsoever. He's out there. He's mashing it for the Dodgers. And it's going to be tough for any team that goes up against the Dodgers. There's so many hard outs to get when you're facing that Los Angeles lineup. And now Ohtani's thrown in there with Betts and with Freeman and the rest of those guys.
Teoscar Hernandez, I think, is what, fourth or something like that in home runs.
Love that guy.
And he's like one of the, oh yeah, they also signed that guy. they threw him into that lineup too. Like, okay, that's great, whatever, but he's not the other guys.
They also signed that guy category.
He's just, it's just, when you spend that much money, you should be getting results. Good to see they got Walker Buehler back down there. I mean, obviously they've got a ton of pitchers that are still hurt.
Sure.
But, getting Buehler back, and I don't know what the timeline is for the rest of them, but my oh my, it's an embarrassment of riches for the Dodgers.
Kershaw's not back yet, is he?
No.
I don't know what he has left in the tank, but he's going to give it another run. All right, so tonight, Cavaliers, Celtics, Mavericks, Thunder. We made our predictions yesterday. Game one in Boston, Celtics, an 11.5-point favorite. They will not have Kristaps Porzingis, although there was good news about Porzingis that he could be back for the finals, assuming they get there. The Mavericks and Thunder, I think that is going to be incredibly interesting. Oklahoma City is a 3.5-point favorite. They're playing at home. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is as good as anybody. But I like the fact that the Mavericks at the trade deadline added Gafford. They were able to add P.J. Washington. They got Lively, so they got a front court. They got some players that they could throw at Holmgren. And then you have the dynamic duo with Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And Irving is all bought in. I don't think there's any problems as far as that's concerned about his mental state. He is all in. He's playing incredibly well. Doncic, we'll see about his health. But even when he was questionable for one of the games, I think it was game five, he went out there and nearly put together a 35-point triple-double. So we'll see. Oklahoma City is coming off a great, great regular season. They blitzed New Orleans in the first round. I can't wait for this one. This is one I'm really interested in. Boston-Cleveland, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a heroic effort by Donovan Mitchell. And then he's capable of it the postseason, but it's going to take one unbelievable effort for them to be a threat to Boston, it would seem.
Yeah, I think this is one of those, look, you know he's going to get his. You just got to make sure that none of those other guys go off. I assume Jared Allen's back and ready to play. He missed a couple games.
I'm not sure what his situation is for tonight's game. I have not seen their injury report.
Well, folks, when you watch the NBA, you're watching the best basketball players in the world. You're also watching the greatest shooters in the world. And I'm not promising you'll be an NBA player, but I am promising you that if you go to Shoot 360 Memphis, you're going to become a better shooter. From preps to pros, it doesn't matter who you are. When you head on over there and use their modern analytics and their great instructors, you're going to get better. So you can perfect your shot. You can challenge yourself. You can compete with others. But most importantly, learn the proper ways to shoot the ball using the modern analytics. So as I've talked about before, this is a great graduation gift, a present for a birthday. Think about, you know, Christmas, next Christmas, as far as a gift for a loved one in your family that loves to play the game of basketball. Give them a Shoot 360 membership. Parents, grandparents, coaches of teams. This is the same system that stars like Steph Curry use. It's a revolutionary training facility that combines cutting-edge technology with expert coaching to improve shooting skills. The facility is equipped with advanced shooting machines that provide real-time feedback on shooting accuracy and, most importantly, arc and depth. Players can track their progress and analyze their performance. They are going to be moving from Collierville to Cordova on June 1st. So right now, again, they are taking registration. All you have to do is go online to Shoot 360 Memphis to sign up. You can call them at 901-316-5500 or stop by their current location in Collierville. It's Shoot 360 Memphis coming to Cordova, a state-of-the-art facility, on June 1st.
By my count, by the way, the Dodgers have 12 pitchers on the disabled list right now.
No. Holy smokes.
They got four on the 60-day.
And yet, they're still the Dodgers. They're still putting up buku five runs.
I think they're more than that. They got Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, Emmett Sheehan, Bruzdal Gratterall, and Clayton Kershaw. So that's, what, five guys on the 60-day.
And then they had Urias, who got into big-time trouble. And then they had the other numbnut, Bauer, they were all part of the Dodgers at one point. Plus, what's our guy from Vanderbilt that they had several years ago? Their pitcher.
Walker Buehler made his return last
night. No, the other guy.
Oh, David Price?
David Price. I mean, they've had so many darn pitchers, yet how many World Series titles here recently?
One.
They need, I mean, for their sake, the money they're spending, to win it all this year, and there will be challengers. That's going to do it for us today. We thank you for listening, folks. We appreciate you watching, those who could watch us on YouTube and other social media outlets. We thank Connor O'Gara, Jeff Crane, Mickey Barker, Austin Chin, and Lawrence Dockery for joining us on the show. We're back tomorrow, starting bright and early at 7 a.m. Among our guests, Kansas City Chiefs linebacker, three-time Super Bowl champion Darius Harris. DeMichael Cole will join us to talk Grizzlies in the NBA. Again, that's tomorrow from 7 until 10. Coming up next, it's Waldo and Friends on Sports 56. Dave off once again today. And once again, it's Brian Dacus. And it is our very own Zach Boyd bringing you home from a 10 until 11. For Eli and Zach, I'm Greg. Have a great day, everybody.